She clamped a hand over his mouth and nose and pressed hard. She didn't want to hurt him, only put him to sleep, and she increased the force on his tiny body, not wishing to exert an ounce of pressure more than necessary. Guilt flooded her mind, and it linked with the beat of her heart, resonating so much her whole body shook to its rhythm. Struggling for survival, the 4-year-old bit into her palm, and she wanted to scream as the pain almost caused her to black out. Yet an inner reserve of strength kept her grip tight and her mouth shut, and underneath, she felt his wriggling become feebler. Near the doors, sacks had fallen back from the driver's end and lay scattered on the floor. Behind the driver, there was another pile of sacking, and the soldier adjusted his grip on the rifle to stab downwards into the Hessian. Her eyes closed tight as she awaited the impact of the blade. The grit from the sacks filled her mouth. Her body knotted, causing her legs to cramp, and the pain was excruciating as the muscles contracted and she bit into the fabric of her sleeve to stop herself from shouting out in agony. Attempting to increase the pressure on her son, she wept silent tears of frustration as she realized she couldn't, as if an invisible wall was creating a barrier. The private's downward thrust into the sacks jammed in the wood of the floor. He tugged once, twice, and it still didn't come away. He redoubled his efforts and pulled it free, sending sacks swirling into the air and spreading out a fine dust, causing him to reel backwards, coughing and sputtering. A discordant jangle from the telephone in the gatehouse demanded an answer. The private froze, looking at the corporal. The corporal glanced at the farmer and turned to answer it. Elena gasped. "They know." After a couple of steps, the corporal, impatient to get back to his game of cards, wheeled and shouted at his soldier, "Get on with it!" And he flicked the glowing cigarette end into the bushes with his forefinger. She waited. Waited for the steel of the bayonet to rip into her, and she moved her body to shield her son from the cutting edge of the blade. Now two voices whispered to her, "Turn around, confront him," and "Don't turn." She remembered a night in Berlin, walking along a deserted, unlit street. A heavy rain drummed on her umbrella, and a wind lifted litter high into the air, and she heard footsteps behind her. Although it might have been anyone, a passerby, a tramp, a thief, she believed she was being followed. She'd wanted to stop and look back to identify the follower, but that would have been dangerous. "Don't." The other voice nagged at her. "Turn, turn now." Was that a breeze on her flesh, or the soldier's warm breath? The hairs stood up on the back of her neck, and a crackling like electricity rippled across her scalp, making her shiver. "Go on, look. Don't turn." Wiping his mouth on the sleeve of his tunic, the private spat again on the gravel. This time he climbed into the back of the van, and it rocked with his weight. He picked up his rifle, holding it high above his head for a final lunge at the pile of sacks. She must turn. She couldn't stop herself. With a grunt, the soldier started the rifle on its path, and as he lifted his gaze, he was transfixed by the terrified stare of a green-eyed woman. Like a tiger with its prey cornered, he bared his teeth in a vicious smile and continued the bayonet downwards in a powerful arc.